I'm going to read our scripture passage this morning, but before I do, I want to introduce our pastor this morning. Our speaker will be Itshak Gatas, and to help smooth the transition, I'll introduce him first and then read the passage, and then he can come up and speak for us. So Itshak, as probably most of you know, is one of the missionaries that's supported by IBC. He works here in Brussels, mainly with an outreach to the Muslim community. There's not really a lot more to that than that, and I'll let Itshak give you some more of the details as he speaks to us this morning. But he's been a fixture for many years in this place, and we appreciate the work that he does in the Muslim community, to Christians in the Muslim community and Muslims that want to be Christians. It's not a Muslim church. All right, from Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
It's a great privilege to, for me to speak to you this morning. I consider it good time, good occasion for me to meet you as your church. You are have been involved, partner in our ministry for many years with your prayer and your generous financial support. I'm originally from Egypt. In 1988. I became a full-time worker for Muslims with the Belgium Evangelical Mission. Before this, I studied mechanical engineering. I have no idea. I have no sending a church. I have no sending mission to send me. I just find myself in Brussels with a ministry in my hand. And your church is one of the churches that has been gracious to us in doing the ministry. And I thank you. In Belgium, I just would like to let you know that Islam is the first practiced religion in Belgium. That means the number of Muslims that practice their religion are number one before the Catholics. The Catholics are the majority in number, but the Muslims are the majority in practicing their religion. Number two is evangelicals and Protestant before even the Catholics. The challenge before us is we have a message, we have a good news to present to people. The challenge, the first challenge, that the people we present this good news to them doesn't consider it as good news. But I may encourage you this morning that over the years we have seen many people coming to know the Lord and to be faithful to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad also that you prayed today for Albania or the country of Albania, because probably you don't know that we have over 10,000 Albanians living in Brussels, and there is no ministry whatsoever for them, Christian ministry. There are mosques for Albanian Muslims. So we pray that the Lord will send somebody to minister to the Albanian people living in Brussels. As I prepare this message to share with you this morning, this message has a great encouragement for me personally as we look at Jesus, a Jesus who offered rest for the soul. And his invitation, as we read it, especially in the verse 20 8 and 29 is one of the well-known passages in the Bible. We all know this. Jesus told us to come to him, and he will give us rest. But even today, as we meditate and reflect upon this invitation of Jesus, the sole rest giver, we are encouraged and assured that our faith is secured in him. Jesus promised to give us rest. I will give you rest. That is the first part of what he speaks. But the second part actually is in our hands. Because Jesus said, you will find rest to the souls of you if you do this and this. In other words, this words of Jesus doesn't include only the initial call for salvation, but actually extended the invitation of Jesus for us as his people, for Christians, for believers, after listening to his initial call for salvation, how to find rest to our souls in him. So it's a call from Jesus to give us rest for salvation, initial call for him, as to become his children. But okay, also it is a call for us all as believers to find the rest that he gives if we obey and live after his example, after the example of Jesus himself. Let's start now at the looking at the passage itself, and I will simply follow the thoughts that Jesus put in the three verbs he used in this passage. Jesus uses three verbs. I'm not going to go in details on the structure or the mood of the verbs, but it's simply come, take, and learn. That is the three verbs that Jesus used in the verses that we just read in Matthew 11. Come, take, and learn. And he, Jesus, put in each time we respond to his call or respond to his invitation, that he offer rest for those who accept the invitation of Jesus. Looking at these verbs, which are mentioned in the invitation of Jesus, one might ask, and here maybe we just a question, when we look at the offer of Jesus, he said, come, I give you rest, but at the same time he said, carry my yoke. How can he give us rest at the same time he put us to, or who asks us to carry his yoke? And then he said, because it's my yoke, is easy. How can a yoke be easy? Or how can a yoke and a burden be light, as Jesus said? I hope during this the course of this message to come to a closer understanding of the call of Jesus and to respond also to his call. The first point I would like to share to you is the word come. Come to me, says Jesus. An initial invitation for salvation. At this time, the connection, connect the passage in Matthew 11 to what Jesus has been experienced with people from all kind of looking for the truth, searching for the truth. Then Jesus turned to them, as it says here, at this time Jesus said, praising God, introducing his authority, the basis of his authority, and then he came to say, come to me. Come to me, I give you rest. An initial invitation for salvation. People, always, all over the history of humanity, look for solution for sin. Jesus offers his invitation today to give rest to the soul from the burden of sin. Jesus has the authority. The basis of Jesus' invitation is in verse 27. We said, based on who Jesus is and what he is able to do, he said, all authority has been given to me. Simply because he was obedient, simply because he paid the price, simply because he humbled himself and took our form, a form of a servant, go to the cross to pay for our sins. All authority to give salvation, to give peace, to give forgiveness, is in his hand. Actually, the Bible speaks of no other ways to have salvation, to be saved, to have peace with God, except by the name of Jesus. Verse 27 actually speaks about this, his authority, when he said, yes, Father, in verse 26, yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things in 27 has been committed to me by my Father. It also speaks about a harmony of work. It's not Jesus excluding the Trinity, the Father and the Holy Spirit, by giving come to me. It's just to show that his work for us, for salvation, is being planned by the God the Father, is being carried out by Jesus, has been communicated to us by the Holy Spirit. All authority is given to me by my Father. It's also the invitation of Jesus doesn't put any requirement on the people who come. He says simply, come. Come to me, I give you rest. There is nothing else to do. It's a personal invitation. It is also an invitation for all those who may come to him. All who may come to Jesus will find salvation. However, Jesus put also the condition of those who may come, who may obey him. Not a condition based on the call itself, but a condition based on the attitude of people who come to him. It's similar to the well-known verse in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. Jesus also gave this in telling to people who come. Before he gave praise to the Lord, he said, at this time Jesus said, I praise you, Lord, of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children, to babies. It's not here to say that ignorance is the way to get the blessing of Jesus. Not at all. Actually, all what God gave to us, our intelligence, our gifts, our abilities to do things, is a gift from him. What Jesus is saying here is those who may think that they are wiser than God, they don't come to God in attitude of obedience, submission to him. Those who think that they can earn their own righteousness. Jesus said, this thing has been hidden for the wise. All those who think that they are wiser than God. Humility is the way to come to Jesus and also to enjoy his salvation that he gives. Come to me, Jesus said, I will give you rest. An initial invitation for salvation. It is an invitation for everybody on the condition that we submit to God to receive what he wants us to receive. It's also a call of compassion. Because Jesus looks at us as people who have been looking for, searching for the truth. And this is actually the situation of humanity today, all over the centuries, before the coming of Jesus and after the coming of Jesus. People are looking for truth. And also people are under their sins, unforgiving sins. And for this, Jesus said, come to me, who you labor and are heavy laden. Labor, looking, working hardly for searching for the truth, looking for ways to be forgiven. And this is a story of all other religious people who are trying to work and work hard to earn their salvation. Jesus said, come to me. I will give you the rest you are looking for. And also those who are heavy laden under the sin, the guilt feeling of being separated from God, the guilt feeling of what we do. Jesus' invitation today is for us, for all who are feeling restless or do working hard to look for the truth of finding a God who can forgive them or have peace with God. Jesus said, I am here. I am to give you rest for your soul. If you obey this initial invitation from me to come to take or to receive salvation. This invitation of Jesus extends all over the centuries. As long as we live, the invitation of Jesus is always open. Come, simple coming, simple submission, simple obedience, simple depending on God's plan to save us and trusting Him, and He will do the rest. And I tell you, this is not a just good sound statement, but I'm speaking from my experience, for the people I work for. Once they come to Jesus, once they experience the saving power of Jesus for our lives, we hold to it because it's a reality. It is something true. It's not a good philosophy that we speak about, that Christians claim to have. But I tell you, it is experience. If you would like to experience this invitation of Jesus, he opened his heart for us today. That leads us to the second part of the Jesus' invitation. And this is for us as a believer. For us as a believer, after accepting this initial invitation for salvation, Jesus invites us, come to me, all who you are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. And then he turns to us as believers and say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. An invitation for our walk with the Lord. An invitation for us as believers, as we look at Jesus as our Savior, but also he invites us, if we would like to enjoy the rest that he gives to our souls, we have to listen to him. We need to listen to him. He's a compassionate God. He's not a God that gives us instructions and just like somebody who's controlling a football match, sitting somewhere like the image of God in Islam. He's sitting somewhere else, writing down what we do. But actually, our experience with God is he is in our life. He is involved in what we do. He is involved in our Christian life, in our walk with him. He is with us. And if Jesus puts these conditions for us before us, he knows what is good for us. And that is why he speaks these words with a lot of compassion, because he knows sometimes as a believer, we do not understand his call for us. And we live a life that probably will end up not enjoying the rest and the peace of his faithfulness if we walk with him. So Jesus turns to us today and says, well, I take my yoke upon you, says Jesus. This is a call for obedience. A yoke is a T-shaped mechanism that couple the two ox or two horses together, that they go together to probably to pull on a wagon or to work in the field. So this image was well known in the society of Jesus. And Jesus uses this, take my yoke upon you, says Jesus, and then you will find rest for your souls. The yoke in Matthew 11 is presented as an aid rather than a burden. In other words, Jesus tells us, if you carry my yoke, if you listen to my words, if you do the task I invite you to do, I will be the master who is holding this yoke to guide your walk. I will help you also because it's a kind of a yoke that shares the burden. I will help you in your walk with me as you carry my yoke, a sign of obedience. He is the master. He wants to guide our lives. And he wants to be the one in control of our lives according to his call and his words for us. And then we have the rest for our souls. His yoke is easy because it simply fits us. What Jesus calls us to do is not something beyond our ability to do. And even if he calls us to do things and we are not able to do it, his promise is he is with you. He is the one who does the work in us. The Holy Spirit is God's gift for us to enable us to fulfill what we cannot fulfill on our own. I think his call to us in this verse is a call for obedient. Carry my yoke. In other words, do things my way. Let me be in control in your life as believers, and you will find rest for your soul. His yoke fits us. And what he wants us to do is exactly the way that he wants to give us rest. My third point, learn from me, says the Lord. A call for disciples' life. Learn from me. Jesus is a model. Jesus is an example in God's purpose to reveal God for us. And that is what John the Apostle says, that we and God, the invisible God, we have seen him in Jesus. So one of the purposes of God in the incarnation of Jesus, or sending his own son, is to reveal himself to us. That is easy to understand because the Bible speaks. But you know that also in Jesus, in the humanity of Jesus, the last Adam or the second Adam, as the Bible speaks, do you know that in him also we see our image, the perfect image of humanity? Jesus reveals not only God to us, to see God in him, but to see ourselves as well in the example of Jesus himself. He is a perfect man. That is why when Jesus invites us to follow his example, he just would like us to understand God's purpose. That because God's purpose for us as believers is to make us after the image of Jesus. He is working in us. That is what the Bible says. We are to be like Jesus. When Jesus said, follow my example, he wants us to understand that it is God's call for each one as believers to be like his son. And this God's work in us until he will accomplish it in the second coming of Jesus. We are proud to have Jesus as our example. And I'm speaking this because of my background. In Jesus, we see a perfect example. We are proud to have him as our example. When I look to other religion leaders or founders of religion, Jesus stands unique as a perfect model for us. That is why he dares to say, learn from me. Learn from me. Learn from me to have rest to your souls. Learn from me, Jesus said. We are proud to have him as our example. And one of the things that attracts people from Islam to come to the Lord Jesus is the example of Jesus himself. The teaching of Jesus that touches the heart. The experience of Jesus as a model in contrast with other models makes him attractive to people. When Jesus calls us to learn from him, he puts before us a model to understand that is what God wants us to be like his son. But it's also interesting what the two points that Jesus made to learn from him, especially these two qualities. I said to myself when I prepared this message, there are many things that we can learn from Jesus. Why Jesus just put two things when he told us to learn from him? He said he is gentle and lowly in heart. This gentleness and lowliness in heart is two qualities that will give rest of the soul and allow God to exalt his people. Meekness or gentleness literally means power under control. Under the control of God's word. Learn from me because I am gentle. It's amazing to see the meekness of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus being seen in his life many times in experience of Jesus. When he presented God's plan for salvation in his compassion, in his tears over the sinning of people, the compassion to people. He is gentle. He limited himself, as the Apostle Paul says, taking a form of man, power under control. He's gentle. He's meek. Lowly in heart, humility, humble, not proud, to allow God to exalt us. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul spoke about Jesus when he humbled himself. In other words, we need to learn from Jesus all aspects of his personality, but especially from his humility, from his meekness, from his gentleness. That is what attracts people to him. In conclusion, I would like to tell to us today, the rest of the soul is a divine gift. There is no other way that we can experience God's salvation and God's rest for our soul except in Jesus. There is no other name given under the sun that we can be saved except Jesus himself. In the book of Isaiah, he spoke about Jesus as carrying our burden. He took, God put on him the burden of our sins. God made him the way of salvation. He himself stood one time and said, I am the way to the Father. Nobody can come to the Father except by me. His invitation is extended for us this morning. The more believers commit themselves to the life of obedience and following the example of Jesus, they can rest in his faithfulness. And I hope this will be an exhortation for all of us. As we see the people of God in the Old Testament, how they wrestled many times, losing God's peace, losing the rest for their souls because of their disobedience, not following God. I think God's invitation for us is something worse that we consider. Looking at Jesus, being obedient, learn from him, then we can enjoy the peaceful life and we enjoy his covenant with us and his faithfulness. May God bless us. Amen.